Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. Associate producer Greg Tomlin sitting alongside Washington Policy Center's Dave Vose today in for your cultural crusader. He will be back tomorrow. The news today, FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried arrested in the Bahamas Monday evening following receipt of a formal notification from the U.S. that had filed criminal charges against the fallen crypto billionaire. Here to speak with us about this topic, always a welcome guest here on the program, Andy McCarthy of the National Review. He's got a new piece entitled The Curious Timing of Sam Bankman-Fried's Arrest. He begins this piece by saying, I confess to being perplexed by the arrest of Bankman-Fried. I'm not perplexed by the fact of it, but what questions are you asking in light of Bankman-Fried taken into custody last night, Andy McCarthy? And thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you, gents, for having me. What I'm curious about is it seems to me that any federal prosecutor who had the windfall of having a suspect who was about to be charged agreed to testify under oath for hours, under a lot of which probably would have been hostile questioning, that would be like manna from heaven. And that's why any competent defense lawyer would plead with the client not to do it, because you just you don't even if you're representing as a defense lawyer somebody that you believe is not guilty, you still want to see what the government is going to charge, what its theory is, what its evidence is, before the client makes statements that the government can try to build into its case. So it just it's a natural that if the Justice Department could have had that happen today, which it was scheduled to happen, you would think that they would have moved heaven and earth to do everything they could to make sure it happened. And instead, they picked last night on the eve of when the testimony was supposed to take place to pull the trigger on their arrest. They got a arrest warrant based on a sealed indictment that was filed in the Southern District of New York and executed it around 6 o'clock in the Bahamas time last evening, which of course aborted the testimony. And I just think it's odd that they did that.
What are the potential, the possible answers to that? I mean, I can think of incompetence, and I can think of wanting to hide something. And those are my only two. I'm wondering, do you have a list of possible reasons why they would stop a guy from giving all these potentially incriminating answers when they know where he is? They know that it's not, as you point out in your column, he's not going to be a hard guy to find, not going to be a hard guy to arrest. So what are the potential reasons why this testimony would be stopped?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned incompetence first, because I worked in the government for 25 years, and that can never be dismissed as a possibility. So it's that's the first box to check. I'm in this instance, at least, more cynical than that. And I think that probably what went on here is a big part of the alleged fraud against Bankman-Fried is the millions of dollars that he diverted from clients of FTX, diverted to this other corporate entity called Alameda that he controlled, and then used that as his piggy bank to do, among other things, political contributions, which obviously, he was hoping to promote the idea of regulating cryptocurrencies in a way that would have been helpful to his business. But in this past cycle, he was identified publicly as being, I think, number two only to George Soros as the top Democratic contributor in this cycle with about $40 million. So Democrats on the committee would have had to endure hours of Republicans spotlighting the fact that the money that was stolen from Bankman-Fried's clients and customers ended up in the coffers of these politicians. I should quickly underscore that Bankman-Fried himself says that he was an equal opportunity donor to politicians, that he gave to both Republicans and Democrats. He says he gave almost as much to Republicans. The difference is that he gave mostly dark money to Republicans because he didn't want to deal with the media Democrat complex complaining that he was contributing to Republicans. But he says that he gave a lot of money to Republicans and nearly as much to them as he gave to Democrats. But I still think Democrats would not have enjoyed that part of the hearing today.
Well, and does his whole, oh, I contributed to Republicans, but I just did it with dark money, does that pass the smell test for you? And during this ongoing investigation, is there any way to trace any potential contributions to Republicans, or will we never know?
Yeah, well, I think it totally makes sense to me. It totally, you know, passes the smell test because think about what this guy was trying to do, right? He made himself very unpopular with people in the cryptocurrency sector because, you know, they want to evade or be insulated from government regulation. In fact, but, you know, the whole idea behind crypto and its use of the blockchain technology is that it frees people from a lot of prying by the government and a lot of regulation. It should also, by the way, free people from having to deal with people like Sam Bankman-Fried, because the whole idea is you shouldn't need middlemen and exchanges and the like. But I have no doubt that what this guy was trying to accomplish was to get a favorable regulatory environment that would help his business and hurt his competitors. We see that kind of thing again and again and again from a lot of these characters. So that doesn't surprise me at all. And I think they have identified at least some of the, you know, to say that someone gives dark money, I don't want to suggest that there's anything illegal about that. What I mean by that is that's the term they use for giving money that's not as publicly transparent as some of the things that the campaign finance laws require public reporting on. So, for example, if you give to candidates, that has to be reported. If you give to some political action committees, often that doesn't have to be reported, and there aren't caps on how much you can give. And evidently what he did was, you know, that was the route that he dealt with Republicans on, at least by his own account.
Isn't there a past? I thought I read a column in National Review recently, and forgive me if you're not familiar, but I recall there was another kind of big scandal of this kind, not cryptocurrency, but, you know, big money people giving a bunch of money to the politicians. And then when it came to punishment time, you know, there was political influence and they didn't seem to, you know, let me put it this way, the book wasn't thrown at them. They didn't get the same kind of justice one would expect with the punishment fitting the crime. Instead, it seemed like they were treated with soft gloves. Could that be part of the reason for this money? Maybe he sensed that the cards were falling. And do you know of a circumstance where this kind of dealing has happened, where people end up being caught in their crimes and then getting a softer treatment because they're politically connected?
Well, those things happen. You know, I also think there's complexities with this regulatory environment too, which we can talk about more if you want. But you know, the legal status of cryptocurrencies is not on a solid foundation so that you can say that they're absolutely securities or they're absolutely commodities that are clearly regulated under federal law. I think that the thing about this case is it's a pretty straightforward fraud.
Andy McCarthy of the National Review, a senior fellow there, author of the book Ball of Collusion, The Plot to Rig an Election and Destroy a Presidency. Please go check that out. Might you be able to stick with us for one more segment on the other side of this break?
Yeah, sure.
Appreciate the conversation. We'll be right back on the Michael Medved Show. Greg Tomlin and Dave Bowes sitting in.
I'm, of course, deeply honored to receive
the Michael Medved Show.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll-and-go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listener's Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
We've all heard the saying, safety in numbers. Well, think again. The IRS, the country's powerful tax collection agency, is on a hiring spree. They're bringing in 87,000 new agents. Now, no taxpayer at any income level is entirely safe from IRS scrutiny or, worse, a dreaded IRS audit. This is Michael Medved for AmFed Coin and Bullion. How safe are your accumulated savings and wealth from government examination and reach? Owning gold and silver is one of the best ways to keep your wealth in your own hands. Precious metals provide a layer of privacy that's not available through a bank account. When you own precious metals, only you and your dealer have knowledge of your purchase. Now, I buy all of my precious metals from my friend Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. Nick's been in this industry for 41 years, and he has established a reputation built on trust, transparency, integrity, and fair pricing. Call Nick and his team, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Associate Producer Greg Tomlin and Dave Bowes sitting in today. Pleased to be joined for one more segment with Andy McCarthy of the National Review. He's got a piece out right now, The Curious Timing of Sam Bankman-Fried's Arrest. Mr. McCarthy, your general impressions of SBF, as he's come to be known, and then surely we'll learn more as the investigation and or prosecution continues here. But, you know, he went on a media blitz like a month ago and was ubiquitous. It was on CNBC. I think he may have given an interview to George Stephanopoulos. And I just thought this might be an opportune time to keep your mouth shut if I was SBF. Nonetheless, nope, he was an open book and was talking ad nauseum. Do you get the impression that he was just an entrepreneur in over his head, ignorant, naive, or the flip, alternately, an evil billionaire genius filled with ill will and intent trying to get away with a massive crime here? What do you think, just on its surface?
Well, you know, the truth is usually someplace in the middle, right? So, you know, he strikes me as a young guy who was in a hurry, and, you know, he thinks he is the smartest guy in every room he was ever in. His parents are notable lawyers who were Stanford Law School academics, so you would think that people were in his ear telling him, you know, you're committing legal suicide by running around speaking when you're the subject of an investigation. But, you know, he seems like he was one of these young guys who felt like he was invincible. You know, suddenly he was sitting on what he said was $32 billion. It looks like if the government's allegations are correct, that there were a lot of shenanigans that went on, which will make it very difficult for him to try to establish his defense that he didn't intend to commit fraud. And when I hear him say that he didn't intend to commit fraud, although he acknowledges that, you know, people lost their shirts and their life savings here, what I get the sense of is he's probably kind of in the position of Bernie Madoff, in the sense that, like, you know, Madoff didn't intend for his victims to lose all their money. He always thought that somewhere along the line, you know, he was going to hit a winner and, you know, generate enough revenue that he could make people whole. But that doesn't mean that he didn't understand completely that what he was doing was dishonest and fraudulent. So, you know, if what he's saying is like, I had my best intentions where I was going to figure this out. I was going to get a big windfall and nobody was going to lose any money. On some human level, he may have believed that, but that's really not a defense to fraud.
Do you get the sense that you mentioned that he's got his two parents there, lawyers? He, you know, obviously he hasn't been taking any legal advice because, you know, it's obvious that one would shut up at this point. And the whole point of your column is that the more he talks, the more a prosecutor is going to be happy about it. Seems like a pretty basic understanding. This young guy, he might be egotistical, but he's not stupid. So do you have any theories as to why an accused individual like this would keep talking? You know, I mean, mm-hmm. Have you seen that before?
Yeah,
what's the motive there?
I have seen, lo these many decades, many, many times where somebody who was smart enough to give another person excellent advice rarely follows the advice himself or herself. We're just not good at being objective about our own situation. And he strikes me as the kind of a guy who, you know, just thinks he was smart enough to talk his way out of it. And he's probably smart enough that if somebody else suggested that as a strategy, he'd look at the guy and say, what are you, crazy? But with he himself, he thought that, you know, some people just think they're so smart that they can talk their way out of anything. And look, for this guy, in his late 20s, he had talked his way into $32 billion, or at least on paper, right? So there probably was a sense of invincibility out of all that. But, you know, look, at this point, we're doing, you know, dime store psychoanalysis.
Uh-huh.
I think that, you know, the important thing is, you know, whatever he says he intended, I just don't think, you know, given what the government's proof is, the way it's laid it out, and I assume they wouldn't put the stuff in the indictment that they put unless they were pretty confident they could prove it. And I'm talking in particular about the manipulation of the bookkeeping. It's going to be very hard for him to establish that he didn't know what was going on, or that he didn't intend to take people's money.
Were you surprised to learn? I don't know if you watched any of the hearing today with the new CEO, but he talked about how FTX was using QuickBooks for all their bookkeeping, and people were taken a little aback by that.
Yeah, well, you know, look, I think John Ray, who is the new CEO, and I think he was the guy who was brought in to do the cleanup when Enron imploded, if I'm remembering right. So he's got, you know, and I don't mean to suggest that anything he said was untrue. We don't, you know, we'll have to see. If he testifies in a trial, he'll get cross-examined by lawyers for the defense, and then, you know, we'll see. But I would just point out that he has a couple of motives that are worth taking into account. One is he's the new broom that sweeps clean, right? So he's got a motive to blame everything that could conceivably be wrong with FTX on the former management, right? So that, you know, going forward, he wants to have as clean a slate as he can possibly have as he sorts this mess out. And secondly, he's got a fiduciary obligation to the company to try to put things in as best a light as he can put it in honestly. And obviously from FTX's standpoint as a corporate entity, it's better if people looked at this as negligence than, you know, actionable fraud.
Based on your political and legal experience, where do you see this hitting cryptocurrency? I mean, how do you see this changing anything about the growth of that?
Yeah, to me, that's the most important issue here, because the Democrats and some Republicans are very hot to regulate cryptocurrency. They think it's terrible that it evades a lot of regulation. And I would just stress that I don't think there's anything about this fraud case that we've seen so far that's unique to crypto. In other words, this is just a standard run-of-the-mill fraud, which is why the Justice Department, under laws that have long been in existence, within 4 weeks is able to bring an indictment that could put this guy in jail for the rest of his life. So to the extent they come out and say, gee, you know, the regulation here is so porous, look what happened. You know, they have plenty of laws to deal with this. And this is a pretty standard fair fraud. It happens to have been in the context of cryptocurrency, but it could have been in any kind of assets. It's just a diversion of client investment to the uses of the person it was invested with.
Andy McCarthy, thank you so much for being generous with your time here on the Michael Medved Show. Go check out his piece on National Review, The Curious Timing of Sam Bankman-Fried's Arrest. Coming up, we're going to be talking about the 10 worst Christmas movies of all time. You won't believe what is number one. Greg Tomlin and Dave Bowes sitting in for your cultural crusader. We will be right back.
The Michael Medved Show, all across America. This is The Michael Medved Show.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
As a partial government shutdown looms on Friday, lawmakers are close to striking a deal to fund the government. That's according to Senate Minority Leader from Kentucky, Mitch McConnell.
I think we're very close to getting an omnibus appropriation bill that would be, I think, broadly appealing.
He said Congress is hoping to pass a big spending package no later than December 23rd. If not, lawmakers will have to pass a short-term spending bill into early next year. The former leader of bankrupt cryptocurrency company FTX is facing numerous charges. U.S. State Attorney for the Southern District of New York, Damian Williams, spoke to reporters.
This morning we unsealed an 8-count indictment charging Samuel Bankman-Fried, FTX's founder, with a series of interrelated fraud schemes that contributed to FTX's collapse.
USA Radio News.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nibbling at your nose.
It's not Nat King Cole. Whose rendition of the Christmas song is this, Jeremy?
By a choir,
and what do you, what's your best guess, Dave?
Like I'm not a musician. I mean, I'm going to guess Bob Dylan.
It's not Bob Dylan. It's, oh, the Hootie and the Blowfish guy.
That was my second
guess. Yes, yeah, of course it was. Yeah, sure. How apropos.
I once wished Hootie and the Blowfish well. There's a few musical guests I've met over the years where they were very, very popular, and I was in an elevator with them at a different place that I work, and I was not aware of their popularity. So I remember I met one of the guys from there, the head guy, singer, and he was saying, I said, you headed to the radio station? Yeah, I'm a singer. You know, and he said his name. I can't remember what it is now. And I said, oh, well, good luck to you. Hope you do well. And he was like, oh, I've been doing fine. And then the elevator opens, and it was kind of like Dave. It happened with was Dave Matthews. Same thing. I was on the elevator with that guy, too. Same,
he's a Seattleite, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was a weird thing, because, and it was embarrassing each time, because I thought, well, turns out they're doing better than me than I am. So, good for them.
Well, this leads us into a perfect segue. IMDb, the Internet Movie Database, has released its list of 10 worst Christmas movies of all time. It's not one of the worst, but one that we just watched the other night was National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. My wife grew up with it, adoring that film. I made a dad Christmas edit for my kids so they could watch it without any of the PG-13 rated sexual references. What are these? Take them out. I don't need my 9-year-old son seeing any of that stuff.
There's some swearing in there, too, that's jarring if you're, used to watching it on cable. Yeah.
Okay.
And you're like, with your family, like, oh, yeah, that's a great movie. Then you get the DVD to watch it at home whenever you want. And suddenly you're like, whoa.
Here's one of my big questions as a modern dad, because my wife, Kendra, had remembered watching that movie multiple times on network TV where it's edited to like rated G.
Right.
Right. Where do you do that nowadays? There's nothing that's filtered out on any streaming services. I know Clean Flicks used to be a thing, but it's not as easy as just turning on the TV and it's edited for you so you can watch it with your whole family. I experienced so many rated R movies and PG-13 movies that were edited for television, but that was my film education back in the day, and my dad didn't have to worry about any expletives being thrown out or things like that.
We were talking about TikTok earlier, you know, and the possible Chinese Communist government influence on TikTok, and they send the TikTok version they send here to our kids is meant to undermine them and their intelligence over the long run, you know, undermine their attention spans and everything, whereas the TikTok version they send to their own kids, there's an automatic cutoff switch for how long they can watch and everything. Well, you think about what Hollywood does with these movies. When that Angel Videos or Angel Studios or whatever their name was, when they used to cut those video Angel, I forget. But they would cut the movies, get the profanity out, nudity out, and other things that were objectionable to parents. And then they were just hounded. I mean, it was like, oh, you're assaulting the artistic integrity. I mean, unbelievable. The same artist, by the way, had no problem cashing in when the network television or the airlines would cut the films so that people could watch them there. And there's so many parents that want that. I mean, I would totally buy that version of the DVD rather than the full one because that's the one I want for my family. But you can't do it, which I find bogus. I just
totally,
especially on these Christmas movies. You're like, you know, who thought the F-bomb in the Christmas movie was a good idea? Unless it's Bad Santa or something where you're obviously not going to show it to your kids unless you're, by definition, you know, not taking parenting all that seriously.
And so. I want to go off on a tangent for just a moment, and I promise we'll get back to the list of 10 worst Christmas movies. But what I'm finding the dynamic that's taking place with me as a father now is I'm remembering things I saw in movies that greatly disturbed me and gave me nightmares for years, and purposefully hiding those movies or scenes from my kids. And one of them is in a Christmas movie when all those boys force that kid to put his tongue on the frozen pole.
They didn't force him, though. He did it himself.
They triple dog dared him. That's what they did. Dare.
That was just a dumb move on his part.
That freaked me out for years, though. That image was indelible. I could not get it out of my head as a young lad, and it just scared me. So every time we're watching that movie as a family, I fast forward. My kids have no idea what happens to that kid's tongue.
I had nightmares over when I was a little boy. I remember the, stop motion movies with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and one of them, the Abominable Snowman, comes out, and I thought he was scary as all get out, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I was showing my kids that. They're like, you know, I mean, they're 4, 5, 3, and they're like, nah, kind of scary, but not a big deal.
Well, and back in the day, stop-motion animation, I think, was still kind of in its infancy, relatively. And so now when you go back and watch Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, it looks like there's, like, a glitch in your television set with how clumsy he walks out. So it's almost scarier because you're like, why is he moving that way, Mommy? You know, it doesn't look natural.
You just say, that's because he's possessed, Sally. Anyway, good stuff. Those actually rank among the better Christmas movies to me because I know they're obnoxious. The songs are a bit hard to take as a parent now because not Rudolph, but some of those kind of spin-off stop-motion movies. I now realize why my dad didn't want me to necessarily watch them all the time as a kid, you know, even though that was back
the when earworms,
you had to watch them.
Well, right. I still think you have to watch them. I am a sucker for a great holiday special, whether that be Charlie Brown,
Die Hard,
Rudolph. Oh, let's not have this debate. The Chipmunks one still holds up to a degree. Die Hard 2 is in the snow. Does it take place at Christmas?
Yeah,
too?
It's also Christmas. Oh, Die Hard 1 and 2 are Christmas films. Die Hard 3, no. Die Hard 4, 4th of July film.
And there's another one I'm forgetting. The Garfield Christmas special is okay.
Peanuts
any
Christmas.
Any kind of connective tissue between generations I think is worth preserving. And I love being able to share that with my kids and my parents who watched it when they were young as well. So 10 worst Christmas movies ranked by the Internet Movie Database. Coming in at number 10, Dave, if you want to do a drum roll here, I wouldn't be opposed to it. But there's a film called Christmas with the Cranks starring Tim Allen. And who is that?
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yep. I never saw it.
I remember when it came out. I tried watching it, couldn't, and I just thought, well, that one's going in the never watching file.
Deck the Halls comes in at number 9 with Danny DeVito and Matthew Broderick.
That's another one. Got 5 minutes in and said, this is awful.
Don't they try to have
solid actors, bad content.
They compete with Christmas decorations and lights trying to win
basically
something.
Basically, somebody said, okay, we got a title, Deck the Halls. What are we going to do with it? I know. They're having a decoration contest because everybody knows neighborhoods get really competitive. Do those ever result in violence? I mean, it looks like most neighborhoods, when they get competitive, it results in more houses lighting up and they have little bins for the food bank. You know,
number 8 on the list, 1989 film Elves. It looks creepy. One of my problems with these lists is a lot of these movies are very obscure, and
to
they
be
weren't
fair. That one's about a demonic Nazi elf. So not just any elf.
You're putting that in your best of category.
No, I never, not only have I not seen that one, but I've never even heard of it, which is
to make my point, number 7 on the list is Jack Frost 2, Revenge of the Mutant Killer Snowman.
Yeah, that one.
A lot of people rush out to see that film.
Yeah, I do remember the Jack Frost films. I think the American Pie gal had her, Shannon Elizabeth or whatever her name was, had her debut in Jack Frost 1. Jack Frost 2 takes place in the Caribbean, which is rare for a snowman. You know, I mean, Olaf had nothing on this guy. Serial killer turned snowman, as awful as it sounds.
Number 6 is...
And by the way, confusing, because there's also a Michael Keaton movie named Jack Frost that's a family film, not at all similar.
Nerd alert. Yeah. Elfman is number 6, released in 2012, and then the rest of the pages of the story got cut off for me. So can you do number 5?
Sure. A Christmas Story 2, which I think is wrong. I mean,
is that the one that just came out?
No. Christmas Story 2 that just came out for HBO Max is it's a Christmas Story, I think, or something. But Christmas Story 2, they try to recreate all these characters. Ralphie's there, but it's a different actor playing him. And they all end up playing caricatures of themselves. So the content of the movie, in this case, he wants a car because he's in love with this girl and he wants a car. The content isn't all that bad, but everybody is, it's like they have the dad who's played by Daniel Stern this time from the Home Alone movies and City Slickers. You know, he's using the same lines as the original actor, but he doesn't capture any of the essence of the original cast. And Ralphie's always got the goofish grin on his face, so it's just bad.
Okay,
but it tried.
Real quickly, breeze through 4, 3, and 2 here.
Santa
on the
has
worst
a bad
era.
Reputation. Movie nobody ever heard of. The Strange Fun of Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. Everyone's heard of it.
Medved can talk about that film.
Yeah, most people have not been able to watch it all. I doubt even Medved has, even if he says so. And number 2 is the Star Wars Holiday Special. It is painfully bad, but as a kid, I loved it. And then later, I saw part of it and realized just how bad it was.
What's number 1? Maybe we'll hold it for the other side of the break.
We'll do that.
Ultimate Tease, Greg Tomlin and Dave Bowes in for your Cultural Crusader. We'll be right back.
Love your show.
The Michael Medved Show.
I give it 4 stars.
Well, it's autumn, and if you're going to go out and look at some of the great colors of the leaves and enjoy the season, well, you get more active, and you know what? Maybe some aches and pains. I had a sore arm for a while, but fortunately, I also have Relief Factor. And more to the point, my wife, who is always more active than I am, she uses Relief Factor as well. It is a great, wholly natural, very healthy, scientifically proven pain reliever. It is... You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. And right now, Relief Factor is still discounted at only $19.95 for what's called a quick start. So about $1 a day to see if you can get out of pain in just a couple of weeks. And for the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can get out and stay out of pain. Check it out at michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner for Relief Factor. Some of America's most important principles, like freedom of conscience, speech, rule of law, sanctity and dignity of human life, the family, and economic freedom, are under contemporary assault. It's more important than ever to teach our nation's traditional values and timeless principles. Now, these sometimes forgotten values must be remembered and communicated, and the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College exists to accomplish just that. The Institute promotes these principles to the next generation of leaders on campus and across the country. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com and you'll find online courses on Ronald Reagan and James Madison, and above all, a vigorous defense of Western civilization and its highest values. Advocating for these timeless principles is why Grove City College continues to be a beacon in higher education. Go to faithandfreedom.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
All right, crew, let's get her done.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
The Michael Medved Show, associate producer Greg Tomlin sitting alongside Dave Bose for one final segment. Dave, it's been a pleasure chatting up with you for the last 3 hours.
Always.
And you only made it through 2 of your 16-ounce Diet Cokes.
Well, I just keep them as spares, you know, so you never know.
You never know,
you're gonna need them, you know
what turns it's going to take here as we broadcast. We're getting to the end of this list here, the 10 worst Christmas movies of all time.
One of the kids was awake in the middle of the night, too, so it's a constant caffeine IV.
Have one in your back pocket at all times. Dave, the anticipation is killing me. What did they say is the worst Christmas film at all time, and is it a good choice? Let's find out.
IMDb ranks as the worst Christmas movie of all time, Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas.
Oh, come on.
I'm serious.
Seriously?
Yeah. It's the film, they say it was rated 1.3 on IMDb, about faith and how Christmas should be centered on Christianity.
Well, there you go, ding, ding,
than,
ding.
I know.
The movie's about faith, it must be the worst thing
0%
ever.
0% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, and I thought, look, Kirk Cameron's trying to make a positive message here. He wasn't trying to make Casablanca.
He's trying to talk about the real reason for the season.
Exactly, and it's I'm sure the people who watched it liked it, right? It's not going to be for everybody, but I found it, you're telling me that Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas is supposed to be worse than the demonic elf Nazi Christmas movie. Right away, I know that if you've ranked Cameron's movie below that, there's a bias that you're not seeing in yourself and your reviewers.
It makes me want to go out and watch it just because they put it at number one.
So,
just to spite them, I'll go see it.
It's lame. I mean, there's a lot of Christmas movies out there that might be more adult themed. This one, it's supposed to be about positive uplift and faith. right away, you know that they just, you know, it's going to go against grain. It's like his sister trying to talk about her new company, and she says, "Yeah, I'm really focused on making traditional family movies." Like, what? But she's got to be stopped. She's like, well, wait a second. Is there some, you know, is there a lack of other alternative views out there? Is there a lack of filmmakers willing to tell other stories? No. She's trying to tell a specific block of stories. Good for her.
And just real briefly, best of all time holiday
people
movies.
People relate to, by the way. I hate it when people act like the only
You're
way
not
you
done
can
yet.
Relate
Keep
to
going.
It. Sorry. It's like the only way they can relate to a movie is if, you know, you see yourself in it or you see, and that is simply not true, and you can see it by the films that people have loved over the test of time.
There you
go. Anyway, go ahead.
My second favorite Christmas film of all time is A Christmas Story. And number one, objectively speaking, it's A Wonderful Life. Every Christmas Eve, I put it on as my wife and I wrap presents, and it never fails. It's a film that gets better with age. It's like a fine wine, and I tear up at multiple parts of the movie. The scene that always gets me, Dave, is when he makes eye contact with his wife-to-be in a gymnasium, and they're about to dance together. The acting is just unbelievable. And their facial expressions, the way they communicate without saying a word, just pulls at my heartstrings every time. Jimmy Stewart was just a master of his craft and a stand-up human being.
And he plays the part of a teenager all the way to a 40-year-old, 45-year-old yeah. guy. And he does a great job of it. Donna Reed does a great job the whole time. Yeah, Donna Reed. And no, maybe I'm getting that wrong. I can't remember. Anyway.
Do you agree with my number one pick?
The first time I saw that movie was my parents had been divorced, and I was going off to the first time. It was a Christmas where there was a separation, you know. And I was by myself at my grandma's house. It was late at night. Turned on the cable TV, and I was flipping through looking for a Christmas movie or cartoon. And I saw I was a big Jimmy Stewart fan from Westerns, and that's why I landed on that. So I'd missed the opening, you know, the heavens kind of talking to each other with the angels.
Right.
So I missed the opening, and later when I saw it again, I was like, wait, what? Because this is before VCR, and, you know, you had to go buy a DVD if you wanted something. And I, like you, I wept in the movie. I felt like it was a really powerful, important movie.
One of the highlights of my radio career behind the scenes is I got a guest host on this show a few years ago when Michael was out, and I had the opportunity to speak with the little girl who was in that film who says, every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. Some of the most fun I've ever had.
I tell my kids, every time a kid disobeys, a daddy gets a gray hair. And
true, that's true. Know,
and they're because they're always looking at my beard like, "What? Your beard's white like Santa Claus. You're getting old." It's like, no, it's more kids have disobeyed. So every time, it just disappears.
Last story of the day here that we want to mention. I've teased it for a number of segments. Scientists announced today that they have, for the first time, produced more energy in a fusion reaction than was used to ignite it. What does that mean? Well, apparently it's a major breakthrough in the decades-long quest to harness the process that powers the sun, Dave. Are you following me so far?
It's super cool.
Mm-hmm. Proponents of fusion hope that it could one day offer nearly limitless carbon-free energy and displace fossil fuels and other traditional energy sources. Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm talked about this today, clip 15.
Today we're here to talk about fusion, combining two particles into one. Last week,
sounds like a wedding.
At the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory in California, scientists at the National Ignition Facility achieved fusion ignition. And that is creating more energy from fusion reactions than the energy used to start the process. It's the first time it has ever been done in a laboratory, anywhere in the world. Simply put, this is one of the most impressive scientific feats of the 21st century.
So what we're going to do is we've got a lot of interns from the top universities of China who have volunteered to come in, do this lab, and watch over this data. No, good for them, but
it seems exciting from what I can tell. I don't know the first thing about how the science here actually works. But it seems like on the horizon, maybe unlimited energy at a fraction of the cost we're paying now. As is with all these kind of breakthroughs, my first question is always, but when do we actually see this come to pass from a consumer perspective? Haven't you heard for years about like major cancer breakthrough or like, oh, pretty soon we're going to have this pill that cures Alzheimer's and they just made this new discovery. And then I'm like always kind of patiently waiting for like, but when is it actually going to be implemented?
You can't wait too patiently. You start working yourself backwards. Like, okay, I'm how old and how long is this going to take? I need that pill. Get that pill going.
So I read this story. It asks, what are the next steps? Which is the most pertinent question for me. Scientists and experts now need to figure out how to produce much more energy from nuclear fusion on a much larger scale. And at the same time, they need to figure out how to eventually reduce the cost of nuclear fusion so that it can be used commercially. To me, I'm going, are we still like a decade away from... It's hard for me to get too excited.
And that's if the technology isn't stolen right away. And then the first thing I thought, well, we might end up giving it away. Who knows? Then the other thing that I was thinking of is, you know, I don't know if you're – whenever I see conspiracy on the internet, I have to stop and click. So the algorithm's sending me more and more. And, you know, the guy – there's always something going around about a guy who invented a water car and he was assassinated by the oil industry or something, you know, these secret cabal. So I'm picturing – you know, I mean, if that story was true, how long do you think these scientists better get top men, to secure that, them, because fusion would be a big deal if it worked out.
And to the extent that the climate change crisis exists, to me this highlights how it was always going to be innovation, entrepreneurship, and ingenuity that was ultimately going to save the planet, and not some big government regulation or policy or attempt at social engineering to get
it. Yeah, you're
out.
Right. We've got to shut this project down because it's going to ruin all that.
You have to. I mean, where's the red tape?
Yeah, all the left-wingers that are hoping – I mean, their definition of climate change is need to transform economy / turn into socialism. This entire crisis is based on our need to transform governments. And then all of a sudden somebody comes up with a cure. It's like, uh-oh, this is really going to rain on our parade.
On a related note, did you see that the AOC climate documentary was a unmitigated flop at the box office, earning just $80 on average per theater? It's called To the End, the latest political documentary from director Rachel Lierz, who previously directed Knock Down the House, which is something that's on Netflix now that debuted in 2019.
Kirk Cameron somewhere right now is like, yeah, that's the worst Christmas movie now. Take that, AOC.
Why do you think it was such a flop, in your opinion?
Okay, look, it's the time of year, right, where it's not like people are flocking to the theaters right now. Can I see a climate crisis movie starring that young congresswoman? You know, I mean, it's just not – first of all, it's not the time for that kind of documentary on policy. Secondly, it's something that obviously is going to be on streaming, you know, tomorrow. So if you're super woke and this is your cup of tea, you're going to wait and watch that on one of your streaming choices. There was just no way this was going to be a hit, right? There never was going to be. There's 9 billion climate change movies out there. It's not like – Dinesh D'Souza's latest, where, you know, it's the first of a certain type of movie. This is like one of, I mean, they've been making these movies since I was a kid. You know, there's a billion of them out there.
Dave Bowes, such a pleasure to host on the Michael Medved Show with you today. Thanks for being here. Thanks to Pride of Hillsdale College, Jeremy Steiner.
I don't think that sounded sincere, Jeremy.
It did. You sounded rehearsed.
Boo!
Michael Medved back in the saddle tomorrow. Thanks for listening in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Fred Dreyer here for the product I use and love, Balance7.com. Are you suffering with heartburn? Get relief from Balance 7. You know, most people are able to go back to eating the foods they enjoy with Balance 7. Please don't be stubborn. This really works. You're just a sip away from enjoying the foods you like. Try Balance 7 with a money-back guarantee. Are you experiencing fatigue and brain fog? So many people complain that in the afternoon, their energy seems to disappear and the brain becomes foggy. Balance 7 neutralizes the acids in your body. This aids your digestion. The energy from food is more effective, and afternoon brain fog fades away. Balance 7 is the answer. Go to balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Mention the code word FRED and get $10 off your order. Call 800-793-9039 and mention the code word FRED. Get heartburn relief and more with my favorite, balance7.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.